So tonight, we are going to be looking at Psalm 51. There's a very special reason for that, and we'll see that in a minute. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the innermost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit away from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your way and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for David and his example. We'd ask you to guide us in the way we should go, because if we try to plot our own way, we'll mess it up big time. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we have learned that you can know that you are saved and that you will stay saved once you get saved. But what happens when a saved person sins? We always say we are sinners saved by grace. Billy Graham was well known for saying that. People would say, oh, Reverend Graham, you're just such a good man. I'm a sinner saved by grace, he said. One time, they had two different magazines, Christian magazines, who came and asked Billy Graham two different questions that he answered and essentially said the same thing. They said, what do you think is the biggest problem facing the United States of America? And he said, sin. Sin is the biggest problem anybody faces. And when they asked him later, another magazine said, what do you think that America needs most? And he said, America needs most forgiveness from sin that only comes from Jesus Christ. You see, everybody is a sinner. It says in Romans, we've all sinned and fallen short of the grace of God. Everybody except Jesus. He had a kind of an advantage. David sinned a lot, but he was referred to as a man after God's own heart. And the reason was very simple. He was a great sinner, but he was a great repenter. This psalm was written following an incident where David had not gone to war with his armies. went out on his balcony one night and he looked down and here was this lady taking a bath on the roof of her house. And he looked at her and he said, "Oh my, that woman is hot." So he called his servants and said, "Bring her to me." And so then he had fun all night long. And then he sent her back home. And a little while later, she called him and said, "I'm with child. And you did it because nobody else has done it. My husband's been gone with the army." So David sent for Uriah the Hittite. This is a famous, mighty man of God who is listed as the mightiest, one of the mightiest men that David had. They divided things out, and there were the three mighty men, which Uriah wasn't in, but they were the top three of the baddest people in David's army. And then there was the 30. Now, the 30 was like the SEALs or the Green Berets of the Israeli army. They always would say, "These are the baddest guys you ever saw in your life," but they didn't quite attain to the three. Well, Uriah was one of them. He was one of David's mighty men. So David comes home and he says, "Thank you very much. You're doing a great job. You need to go home with your wife and have a good time." And he's hoping that nobody will figure out that the time frame don't line up exactly right. Well, Uriah wouldn't do it. He says, "The king's army is in the field. And how can I go with my wife when the king's army is in the field and they can't go with their wives?" So David said, okay. So he got him drunk. And he brought him over. Well, the problem was he was so drunk, he couldn't do anything. So David then sends a message to the commander of his army. He says, "I want you to put him in the very front. And then when they begin to attack, I want you to draw back away from him." So he gets killed. Well, that's what happened. He got killed. And the next day, up shows David's prophet and says, "Well, there was this guy, and he had a little lamb. Poor man. All he had was this one little lamb. And this rich man had guests that came by, so he snagged the one little poor lamb and butchered it and gave it to his friends." And so David says, "Oh, that's terrible. That man will surely die." And so Nathan the prophet says, "You are the man. Wasn't it enough that God gave you the kingdom of Israel, all these different wives, concubines, and it would have given you more if you just asked for it. But you had to take the one thing that Uriah the Hittite had, and then you killed him." So David got all upset. He took Bathsheba, who was the lady, and he married her. And in comes Nathan the prophet, and he says, "Your son's going to die, because this was a sinful thing." And so the baby, he prayed and he did everything he could do, and the baby died, because that's what God said. This was an evil thing. Well, then David wrote the psalm that we just read. And see, when you read it, this is somebody who has sinned terribly, terribly sinned, and yet he is one of the greatest repenters that ever was. So what are the consequences of sin? First of all, sin dirties your soul. It just makes you feel, you know, that you've done wrong, and you feel dirty. It dominates your mind. You can't stop thinking about it. you just keep thinking, oh, I did the wrong thing, I did a bad thing. Sin disgraces the Lord. Because if you'd gone to the Lord, he would have given you the strength to resist it. It depresses the heart. It makes you feel really sad and worthless. It diseases the body sometimes. I mean, you go out and you start sinning. We used to be in the military, and you go over to these places, particularly in the Orient where I went. And I mean, just there was always a line at the dock because, you know, they're all catching all kinds of just STDs. It defiles the spirit. Now that's the problem. See, if your spirit can't connect to God's spirit, there's a problem. And it destroys your testimony. If somebody finds out about this, you're done. You can't witness to these people anymore because they will keep bringing it up for the rest of your life. So what do we do about that? Well, we have to have cleansing from sin. You can be confident when you go to God. God loves you. We tell people who are not saved, God loves you and he has a plan for your life. And he does. And when you fall away from that plan, you need forgiveness. You need salvation. Well, if you've given your life to Christ, you've got it. But now you need to get right with God. You need to say, Lord, remove this stuff from me. Clean me up so I can serve you rightly. God already forgave you. He just wants to get the relationship back right again. So we have to confess. There's a difference between guilt and conviction. Guilt is what Satan does. Mm-hmm. Oh, God will never love you again. You're so guilty. Conviction is what the Holy Spirit does. You've gotten away from God. You need to come back. Yes, you've sinned. We can fix this. Come back to God. That's conviction. All confession is agreeing with God that what you did wasn't right, that it was sin. And God says, as Jesus did to the woman caught in adultery, okay, I won't condemn you either. Go back and sin no more. God tell you that time and time and time again. I've lost count. And then there is cleansing. Only God can do it. Only God can cleanse you from the consequences of sin. And he'll make you perfectly clean. And then you go back out and get dirty again, but that's okay. These things happen. Mm-hmm. That's what we like. And then there is consecration. You are rededicated to what you were intended for in the first place. And you get back on the straight and narrow, and you follow the Lord, and you do what he wants. Now, next week, we're going to look at how to stay out of sin. The ways to fight it before you mess up. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We just ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help us to be good servants. Help us not to hold anything back from you. When we sin, help us to just run to you and say, oh, Lord, I did it again. Clean me up. And we know you'll do it. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys. Thank you.